This portion shouldn't be super long, but I'll try to keep it at half an hour here for you, but we'll see if I can do that, if that's possible for me, but we'll see. And then there is a children's crusade I'd like to cover with you and tell you about that next time, in a few weeks here. So anyway, verse number 5, Revelation 17, 5, and upon her forehead was a name written, mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. So this is that mystery Babylon, and it is a government entity as well as a spiritual entity. It's a beast system as well as a man, the man of sin that will lead that system along. And that's what we have here in the Crusades. And we're gonna go to the year 1196. In the year 1196, Henry was solicited by the Pope to engage in a new crusade for the relief of the Christians in Palestine. And the emperor consented, though he had prudence enough to study his own interests in the compliance. He convoked a general diet at Worms. Not a diet of worms, but wish he would have done that. Then maybe he wouldn't have done this. But anyway, at which he avowed his determination to employ all his resources and even to risk his own life for the accomplishment of so holy an enterprise. And so eloquently did he expatiate upon the subject that nearly the whole assembly took the cross. Their example prevailed throughout the empire, and so great was the number who enlisted themselves that Henry divided them into three large armies. The first, under the command of the Bishop of Mentz, took the route of Hungary, where it was joined by Margaret, queen of that country, who herself entered as a volunteer on this pious expedition and actually ended her days in Palestine. The second was assembled in Lower Saxony and embarked in a fleet furnished by the inhabitants of Lübeck, Hamburg, Holstein, and Friesland, where the emperor in person conducted the third into Italy to avenge himself of the Normans in Naples and Sicily, who had revolted from their allegiance to him. Now understand, the Pope, with these crusades, he knew exactly how to manipulate different world leaders to get them to do what he wanted to. So he would manipulate one world leader against the other world leader in order for him to stay controlling everything, which is some of what you see today. The same exact thing is happening. World leaders being manipulated. A lot of them are tools. They're tools of the Vatican. And they're being manipulated. And there's a spirit and there's a power behind it. It's that you wonder, how do these people do these things? It's the spirit of Antichrist and they're deceived. That's how. Just like the Bible said would happen. This is what we see here. The state of Europe was at that time full of perplexity and confusion. Perfect for Satan to take over, right? And for the man of sin to come in and to use against all of Europe. Innocent the Third. I know, it's funny, isn't it? They have the greatest names. Innocent the Third. Yeah, it is the opposite. Yeah, not innocent, right. Innocent the Third succeeded Celestian in the papal chair, an able and ambitious pontiff whose ruling passion was the aggrandizement of the Holy See. He quarreled with Philip, Duke of Subea, who had recently been elected king of the Romans, excommunicating him and all his adherents, and labored with all his might to detach the princes and prelates from his cause, notwithstanding the remonstrances of the king of France, to whom he proudly replied, "Either Philip must lose the empire or I the papacy." So he would wage war and basically talk the subjects or the princes of any kingdom. He would get them to fight their own king to go against them, right? To subvert them so he could loose their allegiance from them, right? To the king by them being giving their allegiance to the Pope. Just like, hey, do you think you have politicians today? Do you think you have politicians in Congress today that are not loyal to the Constitution and to what's right and are loyal to the papacy and they're loyal to how many Roman Catholics are in Congress? How many Roman Catholics and Protestants that are working for the Pope? How many of them are running Congress, the House, the Senate, and the Supreme Court. How many are on the Supreme Court? So then when a Republican acts like they're a big shot and they voted for, look, we nominated Donald Trump. Well, we nominated conservatives to the bench. No, don't ask whether they're conservative or Democrat. Ask whether they're Kabbalistic Jew or they're Roman Catholics. Because that's who they are, each one of them. They're either Kabbalistic Jews or they are Roman Catholics. That's who they are. That's who's on the court. Just like when Justice Roberts was making his decision for Obamacare, he made the decision and he left immediately for where? The island of Malta. And he was given his knighthood on the island of Malta. Because he did what the Pope wanted. He put everybody under the medical inquisition. Did you know that? There's a medical inquisition? Did you know there is one? Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's a medical inquisition, and that's what you're in. Why do you think they were pushing the shot and doing the things and locking down the country with the tyranny of the medical industrial complex? Because it's a medical inquisition. It's designed to kill you. Slow kill, soft kill. That's what it's designed to do. Take these drugs. Take this, do this. Take this shot. Take this, do this. Don't question what's in it. Just do it. We're here. Look, we're here to help you. But they're not. This is for your own good. Right. This is for your own good, right? That's how they work. They work in subversion. But all these dissensions and troubles in Europe did not prevent the formation of another crusade to Asia. Those who enrolled themselves were principally French and Germans. Baldwin, Count of Flanders, as their commander, and the Venetians, as greedy of wealth and power as the Carthaginians of old, furnished them with the ships for which they took care to amply repaid both in money and to be amply repaid both in money and territory. The city of Zara in Dalmatia had recently withdrawn itself from the government of the Republic of Venice. The Crusaders undertook to reduce it to obedience, and they besieged and took it. Notwithstanding, the Pope threatened to excommunicate them, a striking proof of the reigning spirit of those fanatical adventurers. So once you start a crazy army off, it's just like what happened with Islam. When they went to go take the Jerusalem temple, they got 2 million Muslims, Arabians, right, to get together and nomads to get together and to go kill the Jews and to go conquer and have Mecca there, right? Because the Pope wanted his temple there, right? He wanted his temple there. Well, what happened? Well, those nomads turned on him, and what'd they do? They put Mecca there. They put the Kaaba right there, right? Didn't they? That's what they did. They put the, what's that temple called? I forget what they call it. The Al-Mosque or whatever. What's that? The Ziggurat or something. Well, there is. That's what that cube is. Yeah, that black cube they worship. Yeah, that's what that is. Right. The Dome of the Rock. That's right. That's what they put there, right? Well, that's not the temple. I know. God didn't let you put it there. So he had those Muslims double cross you. Because it's not the time yet. I'm going to tell you something. I believe this. I believe that rock of the dome is going to go boom. That's what I believe. They are going to blow that up, and they're going to blame us for it. And they're going to build that temple there. I don't know when that's going to be or how that's all going to come about, but I absolutely believe that temple will be built right there, and there will be a temple there because the man of sin is going to sit in that temple. Right? That's what God said was going to happen. The Army of the Cross, as they called themselves, next fell upon Constantinople under the pretext of avenging the cause of Isaac Angelus, the Greek emperor who had been dethroned and deprived of his sight in 1195 by his own brother Alexis. Nice people, aren't they? Baldwin and his followers eagerly embraced this as an apology for their violence. And under the pretext of adjusting the quarrel between the two brothers, they made themselves masters of Constantinople. They entered the city without much resistance, putting everyone to the sword who opposed them and gave themselves up to all excess of avarice and fury. In other words, they raped, they killed, they murdered, they pillaged. All in the name of the Crusades. Right? All in the name of the Pope. Right? The booty of the French lords alone was valued at 400,000 marks of silver. The love of money is the root of all evil. What's it about? Money. What's it about today? Money. Right? The very churches were pillaged. And what strongly marks the character of that volatile and giddy nation, it is related that the French officers danced with the ladies of Constantinople in the church of Saint Sophia after having robbed the altar and drenched the city in blood. Like, you don't really think like any of these people have any morals, do you? Like, you understand that the Pope hired these armies to just go murder, slaughter, rape, kill, force amalgamate on every, just like what they're doing now, how they're forcing people across the border, right? They're pushing them, they're paying them. We were talking about that the other day. How in the world, I got to have a driver's license to move in this world. I got to have this to move. I got to have documentation to do anything. Paul can't even go to work unless he has like three forms of identification, right? Like they've never identified him before at the Union Hall or wherever else he's been. But you have to have like all these identifications, right? What's an illegal person do? They just walk right in and do it, get whatever they want. Well, how's that happen? Well, I'll tell you very simply how it happens. They're being paid to do it, and they're being given documentation to do it, and it's being done purposely to destabilize. And they're bringing the worst possible criminals, emptying out the prisons, and pushing them over the border to put them in the United States. Why? Because that's what they do. They're trying to destabilize it. It's all about destabilization. That's what it's about. And then, by the way, and they want to shove it in your face and tell you, oh, by the way, and you're going to pay for it. They don't do that. Really? Well, what do you think happened to $17.1 billion last year? Wait. Oh, wait, you got $200. I forgot. Oh,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
You got $1,300 for a family at the most. That was the highest you could get. Right, and taxed on it, right. Right. So you got $1,300, right? That's what you got. Wait, do you know what a surplus is, don't you? Do you get it? A surplus means that I charged you too much. Off of my already inflated numbers. Right? So the numbers are already inflated. They're already robbing you. So then they robbed you at the tune of $17.1 billion, but they gave you back $1 billion. Okay. What did you do with the other $16 billion? Gracious slave master. Oh, I know what you did. You passed license for everybody, free and documentation and the right to work and everything else, right? So people can, and you're paying for all of these things for people to pour over the border and attract them to come here. That's what you did with $17 billion. Oh, I get it. Now, you stole it. But, you know, they want you to be angry about it so you rise up and you get tired of paying for everything and not getting anything. So they want you angry so you flip. And there's enough people right now that they're going to do that. They're going to get what they want. Right? Because it's going to eventually happen. They're forcing them into desperation. Because when you look at your paycheck at the end and they look at that, and then people that are like, well, you just took all this stuff, and then you said you had $17 billion. It's all gone. Well, where did it go? Oh, we stole it. And you can't do anything about it. And by the way, you better make sure your papers are in order. But that guy over there, we don't even know where he's at. That's, I. You say, what's that got to do with the Crusades? Everything. It's the same mentality. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. The modern day version of that is going on right now. Just like the modern day version of the Children's Crusades are going on right now. Because you have 250,000 children that have gone missing at the border. Well, where'd they go? Just think, you'll figure it out. You're benevolent politicians. They're being trafficked. They're being trafficked at the border. God's going to rain down hell on them someday. He is going to burn them up someday. I'm telling you. They better thank God they got some preachers to preach the gospel to them. They better repent because God's going to burn them. He's going to melt it all down. He's going to burn it all up. Bunch of filthy devils. One consequence Oh, let me back up. Excuse me. Let's see. Thus was this noble city in that age the most flourishing in the Christian world, for the first time taken and sacked by professing Christians who had made a vow to fight only against infidels. Wait, you mean, so professing Christians killed professing Christians? Yeah, you think that's new? They got this. They got it to happen in the Civil War. They got Christians from the North to, excuse me, to kill Christians from the South.
Yep.
And to rape them and murder them and steal from them and raid their lands. They did it then. And what did they do? They sit back and laugh about it, because it isn't the Catholics that are the brave warriors that are going to go fight it. No, it was the Protestants and the Baptists and those people that would fight to whatever cause they believe they're doing right for. Do you understand what I mean? I'm not justifying what they did. I'm saying they built the propaganda up for them to do it. And if you're not careful, they're going to do it again. And I intend not to fall for their garbage and their nonsense.
Right.
I'm not giving nothing to those people. They're a bunch of antichrists. Christians killing. That's, by the way, every war. Listen. Oh, listen. This is why this takes a long time, but I'll only go a short time here today, just because I need to rest my voice anyway. But I would give 1,000 voices if I could to continue. I just would, okay? I would. And I pray God holds it all out, amen. But until I'm an old man screaming and hollering, and Andrew has to turn me up real loud so they can hear me, right? But I want to be an old man. I want to be 90 doing it, screaming until I'm dead, right? Amen. But here's the thing. Do you know that every single war ever that they've ever propagated and pushed and encouraged, especially the man of sin, the Pope, whether it was Germany, whether wherever it was, World War I, World War II, it's always designed to kill Christians and Jews. It's always designed. You say, can you prove that? Oh, yeah. You look and you find out how many Christians were enlisted to go, they call it the greatest generation, that died on the banks of what's that?
Normandy,
thank you. The greatest generation. And Eric John Phelps calls them the greatest generation, the greatest foolish generation.
Yes.
Because he says they were fooled. Not that he's not disparaging those men and saying that their motives were pure. They were lied to, and they followed it. Because they thought they were defending people. They thought they were doing what's right. Just like everyone did that went over there to Iraq. Many of those people, I'm not talking about all of them, many of them thought they were doing right. They thought they were defending people, that they were putting down the terrorists. They were putting down the people that were evil. Right? They were going to stop the WMDs. And the real WMDs is called Congress. You want to know where the weapon of mass destruction is? I can show you. It's in Washington.
Amen.
It's in Washington. That's the weapon of mass destruction. And in Rome. Hey, how come nobody ever bombed that place? How come nobody ever bombed the Vatican? Huh. Ain't that the craziest thing? Everybody's been attacked. D.C.'s been attacked and burnt, right? Or wherever. Was that where the Capitol? I can't remember. Anyway, I get my history straight. But isn't that where they burned it down? They had to rebuild it? Right? In 1812, wasn't it? The War of 1812? Didn't they come in and burn the... am I right, Peter? What's that? The first one, right? So they bombed that, right? How come nobody's bombed the Vatican? How come Hitler didn't just like... What happened there? Oh.
Yeah, the temple has been destroyed.
Right, why? But not the Vatican. Why? Oh, this is why. This is why. It's propaganda. And I've been talking about that on my broadcast, and you better remember, the propaganda is strong.
Yes.
And it's going to get stronger. That's why you better have your mind washed in the Word daily. Because they're going to talk, they're going to try to appeal to everything they can, even God, even the Bible, even the Word of God. They're going to try to appeal to that and twist the Scriptures and handle them deceitfully to talk you. I'm telling you, it is coming. Right. One consequence of this was that the Pope gained for a time the whole Eastern Church. And now, when he talks about the Eastern Church, he means Eastern Orthodox. Because these guys, nah, they didn't believe anything. They always thought those people were antichrist. They just stayed outside of it, like, oh, they're a bunch of antichrists. We don't have time to play with them. No, I'm serious. That's if you read their right hand, the Henricians, the Albigenses, all these people, like, nah, we don't. We ain't going to war for that guy. He's the man of sin. Why would we go to war for him? Why would we fight any crusade for him? He doesn't represent Christianity. He's antichrist, the beast system. Of this, indeed, the conquerors seemed fully sensible. Oh, wait, let me back up. The whole Eastern Church and acquisition of much greater consequence to him than that of Palestine. See, the Pope used it to own Constantinople. So in other words, the Eastern Orthodox, you know, the Great Schism that Tony talked about, the great Schism, right? Right, they put them all back together again, like Humpty Dumpty that fell off the wall. Had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. That's what that is, right? Of this, indeed, the conquerors seemed fully sensible, for notwithstanding the vow they had taken to go and succor Jerusalem, it was only very inconsiderable part of the crusaders that proceeded into Syria, and those were such as could obtain no share in the plunder of Constantinople. Do you ever wonder why they could never really take Jerusalem? Don't. Because the Antichrist was trying to roll in, the Pope, the man of sin, the son of perdition, he's trying to roll in to Jerusalem and set up a temple. And every time he tried, he got the kings of the earth together to get them together at these crusades to get there. And there was always something that stopped him. What is that? God. Who is that? It's God. It's a big wall. It's God. And God says, you're not doing it. You got all this stuff. You worked all your way up to this. You are not taking this city. It's not time yet. Right. Why does he want the city of the great king? He wants it bad, doesn't he? He wants it bad. Are you seeing the picture? Do you understand why your Baptist forefathers and your Waldensians called the Pope the man? They said it was a succession of men. That it's the Antichrist, that that's who it is. I mean, the Bible shows you and illustrates to you, but it also, history shows us. Who else could get the whole world together, all the kings of the earth to go fight in war? How did he do it? He's got devils. Don't you know where Satan's seat is? Right? In 1215, Frederick II was crowned Emperor of Germany with great magnificence at Aix-la-Chapelle. That's as Frenchy as I get. Oh, it's German. I don't know what it is. And to secure the favor of the Pope to the other solemnities of his coronation, he added a vow to make an expedition to the Holy Land. Pope Innocent died the following year and was succeeded by Pope Honorius. Honorius, I don't know. Anyway, the third, who expressed great eagerness to have the crusade carried into effect. He therefore ordered it to be preached up through all the provinces of Germany. Wait a minute. Are you saying a pope would hire people to go through and to preach up into countries a revolution? You mean like he would like examine the people of that place and know that they were discontented with their leaders and there was a revolution rising and he would come in and take it over and use it to subvert it? It's happened with nearly every revolution that has taken place. The papacy has come in and taken it over. The Bolsheviks, the Jacobins, the Bavarian Illuminati. There's only one place that he couldn't do it. Right here. God didn't let him. He didn't let him. That's why you have a Baptist Bill of Rights today, because God didn't let him do it. He didn't get to do what he wanted to do, because he wanted to take it over and turn it into the French Revolution. And then we'd all be fruity. Thank God for that, didn't it? That didn't happen, right? Amen. He therefore ordered it to be preached up throughout all the provinces of Germany, Sweden, Denmark, Bohemia, and Hungary. Is it Hungary? I'm hungry. I don't know. And his exertions were crowned with extraordinary success. The emperor himself declined the performance of his vow until he should have regulated the affairs of Italy and most of the other princes of Europe were detained at home by domestic disturbances. In other words, they had really mean wives. No, I'm just kidding. That's not what he meant by that. But an infinite number of private noblemen and their vassals took the cross, ranging themselves under the Dukes of Austria and Bavaria, the Archbishop of Mentz and the Bishop of Munster and Utrecht, and the King of Hungary, who brought with him a body of fine troops, was declared Generalissimo of the Crusade. The fate of that expedition pretty nearly resembled those of the preceding. The army was embarked in 300 sails of transports, equipped in the ports of Lower Saxony, which, joining a squadron that was fitted by the Frieslanders, Flemings, and the people of Brabant, proceeded to the Straits of Gibraltar in their way to Ptolemais. On their arrival at the port, a council of war was held at which it was resolved to besiege Demetia in Egypt, which was accordingly invested by the sea and land and taken after a tedious siege of 18 months in the year 1219. Their possession of this place, however, was of no great duration. A dispute arose among the chiefs of the Crusaders about precedency, which it was found impossible to adjust without consulting His Holiness. That's the Pope. Who in his great wisdom at length directed that the supreme command should be vested in a cardinal of the Church of Rome. Wait, you mean cardinals of the Church of Rome rule over military orders?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they do. You mean they have like spiritual and temporal power over different military orders and different jurisdictions? And like, let's say like Cardinal Dolan in New York would have authority over like the Federal Reserve or over the military or in Virginia or in these other places. Yeah. Yeah. Like that they were involved with things like the JFK assassination and the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Where Surratt, Mary Surratt, I think was her name, had something to do with, and she was a Roman Catholic. And why'd they kill him? Because he didn't want to sign those post amendments that would enslave everybody in America and make them all slaves, which we did with the 14th Amendment. That made everybody a slave. Yep. John Surratt was the.
John Surratt went to Vatican City.
Yes. Yep. Boy, those things aren't told about. You ever wonder why you never hear that history? Like, how come I never hear any of that history? You won't hear that history. You won't even hear it in Baptist churches. They won't even talk about it. They won't, oh, that's just conspiracy stuff. No, it isn't. It's fact.
He was captured in Egypt, extradited to the United States, and he was acquitted on a trial.
There you go. That's exactly right. I read that. Yeah, exactly right. Why? Huh. Isn't that funny? Then you just sweep it under the rug, just like JFK's assassination. Oh, that was Oswald. So then he's dead, and you're done. It's Oswald. It's all over, see? Nobody else had anything to do with that. That's to cover it up. Why is it important? Because if you understand, then I'm going to shatter your dream of this right-left paradigm and patriotism of things and just show you the truth, that it's ran by Antichrist. Amen. It's just what it is. And you'll realize it and you won't get caught up in it. You won't. I mean it. I mean to train up a generation of young people that understand don't get distracted by this. Because it's all circus games. They're trying to distract you. That's what they want to do. Okay. Their possessions of this place, however, was of no great duration. The monkish general brought the army of the cross between two branches of the river Nile, just at the time when that river, which fertilizes and defends Egypt, began its periodical inundation. The Sultan, informed of their situation, opened the sluices and overflowed the camp of the Crusaders. While he burnt their ships on one side, the Nile, increasing on the other, threatened the hourly destruction of the whole army. The Pope's legate, finding himself and his troops reduced to the last extremity, restored Demetia and was glad to conclude with the Sultan a dishonorable treaty by which he bound himself and his army not to serve against the former for 8 years. So in other words, he had to make a treaty, otherwise they're going to drown to death. When the leaders of the crusading army arrived in Europe, the Pope was extremely incensed at the loss of Demetia and wrote a severe letter to the emperor, accusing him of having sacrificed the interests of Christianity by so long delaying the performance of his vow and threatening him with the immediate excommunication if he did not instantly depart with an army into Asia. Frederick, exasperated at these reproaches, renounced all correspondence with the court of Rome, filled up vacant sees and benefices, even and expelled some bishops who were creatures of the Pope on pretense of their being concerned in practices against the state. That was a good move, by the way. He should have kept that going. Expelled all of them, yeah, and told them, nope, you're done. You're loyal to the Pope, you're done. The pontiff at first attempted to repel force by force, threatening the emperor with the thunder of the church. By the way, I have no thunder to threaten you with, just so you know. I'm not going to threaten you with the thunder of the church, right? What do we have? We have the gospel. We have the Bible. We have the word of God. We have church discipline, but that won't touch a hair on your head, right? There's no threatening. Amen. It's God that does that work. It's God that, it's, but they believed it. They believe the violent take it by force, all right. They're not talking about spiritually. They're talking about physically. They are the violent that take it by force. That's who they are. We are not those people. We never want to be those people. God forbid that we should act like Antichrist. For presuming to lift his hand against the sanctuary, but finding that Frederick was not to be intimidated, he became sensible of his own imprudence and wantonly incurring the resentment of so powerful a prince, whose temper he now thought proper to soothe by submissive apologies and gentle exhortations. In other words, he was afraid he was going to kill him. A reconciliation accordingly took place. Now listen, and we'll pretty much finish with this for today. This is, by the way, it's never good for us. When I mean us, I mean the Anabaptists, the Baptists, the Waldenses, the Petrobrusians. It's none of these alliances are ever good for us. We always get burned. Just so you know, that's how it works. True Christians, these, it's called a trail of blood for a reason. These, listen, a reconciliation accordingly took place, and the emperor, as proof of his sincere attachment to the church, that's Roman Catholicism, ready? To the church, what does he do? Published four severe edicts against the Paterines and the Waldenses. Look, I'll make the Pope like me. I'm going to kill the Waldenses. I'm going to murder the Paterines. I'm going to put an edict, put the Vaudois, I'm going to put them under an edict. I'm going to put these people under the thumb. Okay? So he published four severe edicts against the Paterines, the Waldenses, and others to which we shall have occasion afterward to avert, and which tended greatly to promote the establishment of what? The Inquisition. It was the beginning of the Inquisition, where temporal leaders would bow the knee to the Pope, and to get the good favors of the Pope, what would they do? They would hurt the Christians. That's what they would do. Kill Christians. What's a good way to get favor with the Pope? Kill the Baptists. Persecute the Baptists. It's the greatest way, right? It's the greatest way that they could get what they wanted, was to kill them. Remember, the Pope has the spiritual and the temporal power. That's exactly what he did, and he wielded it. So he threatened that emperor, and the emperor decided, you know, I want to be in the good graces of Mother Church, so I'm going to bow the knee to the Pope, and how could I gain his favor? Oh, I know, these people that are in my provinces, they're not Catholic. So if I persecute them and I put edicts against them, that'll make the Pope like me again. And that's exactly what he did. That's what they always do. You'll find out the Duke of Savoy did it. Others, they always did it. the Vaudois, the Walden, they were always at the behest of these people. They would live peaceably in the land. They would cause no trouble. They would pay their bills. They would honor whoever their leaders were over there. They just lived their lives, and they just wanted to serve the Lord, preach the gospel, and be left alone and take care of their families. They weren't starting any revolts. They didn't do anything like that. They didn't start. All they did was serve the Lord. That's all they did. And that's why the Pope wanted to kill them, because they would not accept his temporal and his spiritual power. And you can't, they can't leave you alone. They can't. Just like now. They can't. We live in a bubble of like protection that God gave us for the last 200 years because of that Baptist Bill of Rights. I'm telling you, it's the only reason why God chose to do it. It was so the gospel could go forth. And you're going to hear me talk about that this summer and into the fall when we do that documentary on it. Because that's really what it's going to cover, is the Baptist Bill of Rights, what makes it different than everywhere else. Because this is the only place in all the world that took place. That's it. No other place had it like that. Right? They all had tolerance. You don't want tolerance. Liberty. Liberty of conscience. By the way, that's why you and I say, you know, that we ought to be careful to give people liberty of conscience as well with things. We're going to differ on things. And we're going to have those differences. They are going to be there with things. Now, we have to be careful with the doctrine of Christ, because there's something called damnable heresies that the Bible talks about. And that's concerning the doctrine of Christ. But differences that we have in different doctrines or understandings of different things in that, we have to be careful that we don't burn each other down, right? Because we're not those people. We don't treat each other like that. We should be able to be mature and talk things out and to be able to do that. We're to reason together with one another, right? That's what we're to do. And we're not to let our differences define us, right? We're not to let those. What defines us is Christ, right? He's what. Because at the end of the day, some of those things, they're not going to matter, right? Because I guarantee you what, brother. If we're running in and out of caves and running from each other's houses trying to survive, I ain't going to be mad at you if you believe something I don't believe. I'll still hide you. I don't have a cave, but I'll figure out a way to hide you. Let's dig one. No, I'm just kidding. Right? But when you're going to, that's what I'm saying, you're going to have people running in and out. You're going to be hiding. And if you're hiding from the Antichrist, you could all be friends. So some of those differences, because we have the liberty to talk those things out, right? But I'll tell you what, if it got bad, we wouldn't even be thinking about those things. We'd be praying to God to help us, right? But anyway, that's just something to think about. We handle things differently, don't we, than what? We don't burn everybody down, do we? That's the beast system. That's what it is. That's what they do. We might tell somebody something's heresy. That's okay. That's not wrong to do, right? But we don't want to throw things around too loosely either. Amen. Be careful about that, right? So we're not like our enemies that do that, because that's what they do. They marginalize those people so they could destroy them. By the way, they want to do that. They're going to do that to biblical Christians too. They're going to marginalize you so they can kill you. If it's not in my lifetime, it'll probably be in my children's. To marginalize you, to kill you. It's easier to kill somebody when you marginalize them, right? Like that, right?
Quickest way to hang a dog.
Right? Give them a bad rap.
Give them a bad name, yep.
Right? So if you just say that, well, Christians eat their kids. Well, I never ate no kid. Right? But that's what they said about these. Oh, they eat their children and everything. Well, how come they have so many kids if they eat them? Right? Nobody bothered to ask. Remember when we went through those with the, I think it was the Albigenses maybe, all those accusations, and we went through that, the rebuttals. Well, if this is true, then why did this happen? Because that just sounds weird. It didn't make any sense. It wasn't logical, right? So anyway, that's the papacy. That's what they do. That's the beat. We're not done with the Crusades. We'll finish them up, Lord willing, when we get back, when I get back here. We're going to also talk about the Children's Crusade because that's important. I hope you understand the mindset of how that works, all right? Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for your grace and your mercy and your patience and long-suffering with us. Lord, help us to preach the gospel. This whole world is deceived, and they're deceived by that Antichrist system. And, oh God, we can't wait for the day for you to put it down forever and for you to rise up on the throne and rule and reign for all of eternity. God, help us to warn as many sinners as we can. The time is short. The days are dark. Help us to warn them before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.